Hi, welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler. I'm your host, Sandy Harper, along with my co-host, Dick Reichman. And today, our very special guest is Kathy Statham, the creator of Stage Talk, a very popular show on KSKA, and who has an award-winning history as a journalist and playwright, and is the author of the wonderful book, The History of Theater in Anchorage, Alaska, 1915 to 2005, From a Wilderness Tent to a Multi-Million Dollar Stage. But today, Kathy is here as a co-playwright of The Cost of Living, revisited the original production, a world premiere at Cyrano's. It was in 1992, which I remember very well. And so welcome, Kathy. And why don't you tell us about how, after 21 years, how it happens Cost of Living is having a new production in Wasilla.
Thank you, Sandy, and thank you, Dick, for having me. I really appreciate it. About a year ago, one of the original women who was interviewed for The Cost of Living back in 1992, Suzanne Bach, who is now Suzanne Bach Edwards, sent me an email and said she wanted the play to be revised, including some Matsu Valley women who were undergoing breast cancer treatment. And she wanted to do a fundraiser in honor of Breast Cancer Support Month, which is in October. But she wanted to do it in 2012. And I told her that it would take many months to put this together. And so we decided on 2013. And Suzanne has actually turned out to be the most extraordinary producer that I've ever seen. We should get the word out there. If anybody needs a good theatrical producer, it's Suzanne Bach Edwards.
Well, she definitely has a vested personal interest in this production. And why don't you just give a little synopsis of what this play is about?
Well, starting in 1992, actually, Sandy, you were one of the women who was the inspiration for this play. Lillian Nielsen, a director and wonderful actor here in town, she and I were at Cyrano's for one of the productions, and she told me that her sister was who lived outside was undergoing breast cancer treatment, and coincidentally, right about that time, you also were undergoing breast cancer treatment, and I remember Lily and I looking at each other and saying, we should do something to try to raise money, you know, for the breast cancer support group and for breast cancer research. And the play was born there in Cyrano's, in your theater.
Yes, yes. And you know, at that time, I think the statistics were 1 in 9 women who had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so at that original opening night, what we did was we had left the 9th seat empty to sort of have that special impact. But what was fascinating to me was how you culled the stories, I guess using your skills as a journalist to get the material.
It was unlike anything I've ever written, mm-hmm. And unlike anything that that Lily had ever done as well. We were invited to go to the breast cancer support group meeting at Providence, and we made an announcement that we would like volunteers, and we told them about our project, and we assured everybody confidentiality if they wanted it, anonymity, and about 25 women volunteered their stories, and we did it the old-fashioned way. We did face-to-face interviews, and sometimes we taped them. Remember the old days of taping things? Lily and I did that together. We assembled all of the information, and then I typed it all out on a typewriter. Remember those?
You got a bunch of those.
And yeah, little children ask, what's
I know.
That?
I feel like I'm talking about, you know, the early 20th century, but it was only 20 years ago. Excuse me. And but anyway, so typed it all out, and then I clipped pieces out of this in little pieces of paper and laid them out on my living room floor. And Lily and I tried to figure out what kind of categories things went into, and it fell into treatment, actually. It started with discovery and then dealing with doctors, going through treatment, dealing with the family, finding support, and all of those things. So we came up with 13 scenes, and then we found that the women, about 25 of them, that their stories could be made into five composite personalities. And we named them A, B, C, and D. I don't know if you want me to get into the weeds on this.
Well, I'm curious to know what you were looking for in these stories. Obviously, you're, putting together a play, you must have said, I want to hit these certain targets with these stories about breast cancer and its treatment. So what were your goals here in interviewing these people? What did you want to come up with?
We wanted that feeling of absolute honesty, emotional honesty, which, as you know, as a playwright, is the core of drama. Emotional honesty, and we got it in spades.
Yeah, the authenticity was
The authenticity.
Fabulous.
Because it's almost verbatim, word for word.
And I just want to comment, too. The reason it was so powerful, this wasn't dark, really. I mean, there were, you know, things you have to realize about that diagnosis, and it is scary. But it had a lot of humor and so many wonderful stories.
And as I said, it was the easiest thing, the hardest thing in a way that I've ever put together, and the easiest thing in a way because I didn't have to invent dialogue, just a few little bridges here and there, and that was about it. The characters, A, B, C, and D, became Abby, Betty, Carol, D, and Ellen. And so as I went to the revisions for this year, revisiting it, by the way, Lillianne Nielsen retired in 1992, right after that play was done, and she moved outside. And now she's living in assisted living in Southern California, and she gave verbal permission to her son, Jim, for this to be remounted and revised. But I was worried that the women in the Matsu Valley who volunteered their stories, that I wouldn't be able to easily integrate it. But I was. It, again, fell into these 13 scenes. And I actually have these scenes in front of me, and they are discovery, cut, after surgery, burn, poison, doctors, hair, sisterhood, falsies, family circle, reflections, death, and going on. And everything fell into place. We had a new script, and the next big chore was finding a good director. And we found one in Ann Benson Williams. I, 20 years ago, watched her when she was a student at UAA and spotted her talent then. And she teaches now for the Matsu School District, and she's very active in theater. And so she also agreed, and there's no one being paid for this production. It's all volunteer, top to bottom, and all of the profits, which will be donated. All of the donations go to the, let me see, the name of it is the Alaska Cancer Care Alliance in the Matsu Valley.
Well, I know that during the original production, a tremendous emotional bonding took place between the actresses, and of course, some of them have actually been diagnosed, like Suzanne. And is that true in the new production? Are these actresses? Or are they people
who
actually...
Well, Suzanne wasn't an actor in the original production.
I guess that's right.
Yeah, no, she was not. And in fact, I don't believe any of the women in the original production had coped with breast cancer. And I don't know about the new cast that Anne has put together from the Matsu Valley, but a lot of experienced actors. She's added two characters. We had the only five, the five women, and she's added, I had doubling, which is in theater talk, is when one actor plays different roles and shifts. And in the original production, the character Abby became a narrator, became a doctor, became a husband at one point, with a few lines. And Anne has chosen to go ahead and cast a couple of men in that production.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Maybe it's one man, so it's going to be a different kind of show altogether.
I know, I want to see it again.
Oh, I can't wait. And I've stayed out of the director's hair. As you all know, there's nothing worse at a rehearsal than having the playwright there.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know.
What do you think about that?
It can be extremely intimidating for the actors.
Well, as one who sometimes writes and sometimes directs, you can't help it. You're there.
That's a different kind of a situation.
An experienced playwright, though, can be someone, and I imagine that you are you may not have written that many plays, but you have so much experience in theater. I don't imagine you would be the kind of trouble that a playwright who doesn't know how theater works would come into a rehearsal situation and be terrified by the process.
It's kind of nice to honor the intent of the playwright and to be able to ask questions directly.
But you know, I've let this go.
Okay.
I have. I've let it go because, as you know, the director makes the show.
That's true. The director's the captain.
The director runs the show, has a different vision. Lily directed the original one, and Anne is a different person. Mm-hmm. It will be a completely different production.
Oh, of course. Each one is unique universe.
Yeah. The one thing I remember, Sandy, above all, of the production 21 years ago in your theater, was the line around the corner, women trying to get in, and them literally throwing money at us as my sister-in-law stood behind the counter there collecting donations.
It was very moving.
And I remember one woman throwing a $100 bill at us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we raised thousands of dollars, and so it was very successful.
Well, that kind of enthusiasm must have meant at the time those women felt unsupported in dealing with what they're dealing with. Is the situation changed, or do you think the people who are dealing with breast cancer feel so unsupported today that they would behave in the same
way? I think that's hard to tell. Breast cancer has come out of the closet.
Exactly.
Cancer has come out of the closet, and breasts have come out of the closet.
And pink is entirely equated with the issue.
Yes. And I think so many changes have happened in awareness of disease and in the last 20 years that it was a different time then. It really was. And there have not been in Anchorage only one other production that I know of that deals with breast cancer. I think it was My Left Breast, which was done at Out North, a solo performance by an outside actor.
Right.
But there was actually a revival of this play, Cost of Living, at UAA.
Oh, at UAA,
there?
Yes. Yeah. A couple of years after the 92 production, maybe around 94, 95, it was a student-directed production with many of the same actors that we had in the production
Very
at Cyrano's.
And also what I remember particularly exciting was Louise Lazar creating Beauty and the Breast as an exhibit, and then later was a book. Maybe you'd tell us a little about that.
Well,
just to take a second to say that we're talking to Catherine Statham about the revival of her play, The Cost of Living. Catherine Statham, this play deals with breast cancer and has been a very powerful thing in its history here in Anchorage. Go on.
Well, going back to 1992, when we slammed this thing together literally in about 6 weeks, because you had an opening in your theater. You had a hole in your schedule,
yeah,
and said, you know, you can do this, but you're going to have to do it in September. It was about mid-September before your season started. And so we did, when we went to the breast cancer support group at Providence to make our pitch and ask for volunteers, one of the women who volunteered her personal story was Louise Lazur. And very familiar to KSKA listeners, that name. Louise is now on the staff at UAA. But Louise was coincidentally at that time doing her own project of photographs using, I've forgotten the name of the professional photographer from UAA.
Bob Hewitt.
Yeah. And this was called Beauty and the Breast. And it was a touring exhibit of large mounted photos of women, not showing their faces, but showing them from the waist up. And very powerful, very, very powerful photographic exhibit. And that was all coincidental at the same time that we were putting our play together. Then, several years later, probably around 98, I'm thinking, Louise took it upon herself to write a grant to the Alaska Run for Women to publish the Beauty and the Breast photo exhibit and Cost of Living. And so I revised the script a little bit for the publication, but that's in hardback. And so Alaska Run for Women owns the copies. There are still some that people can buy.
It's a gorgeous book, and it really gives people great hope, I think.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
My picture's in the book.
Yes, your picture is in the book. Angela, with a tattoo, as I recall.
Oh, well, it was really a painting by Angela.
Oh, was it? Oh, by Angela Ramirez?
Yeah.
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 So the new production, though, we should go back to that. When is it going to be again, did you say?
It's at the Alaska Club Theater, which is apparently, I have never seen it, about 150 seats, and it's in the Creekside Plaza in Wasilla, October 18th, 19th, and 20th, and the Friday and Saturday performances are at 7, and the Sunday matinee is at 3, and it's free, and if anybody who wants to donate is welcome to do so, and all donations will support the Alaska Cancer Care Alliance there in Wasilla.
Catherine, I haven't been aware of the of this theater. Is this a venue that they've produced plays in before?
I don't know. I don't know. Unfortunately, Suzanne could not be here today, and she really wanted to be because this is her baby. This is her project. But she's a well-known artist, and
a watercolor artist,
and she's doing a workshop in Homer. Actually, she's trying to make her way back from Homer, I think, in the next couple of days. But unfortunately, she was out of town for
this.
She
dropped a lovely note to us, though.
She did. Do you want to read some of that note, Sandy?
Okay, I would be happy to, because I certainly
we should give credit share her to thought. We should give credit to Suzanne, because this is really her. This revision
and now she will have a co-career
as a producer now that the word is out
and a well-known watercolor artist. And it what it says is from Suzanne, without hesitation, upon retirement in May of 2012, I had a mission in mind to occupy my free time. It was to bring back the cost of living play, which was a huge success in 1992, and includes part of my story as a breast cancer patient. My motivation comes from my overwhelming gratitude and gratefulness for 21 years of cancer-free living and for all the wonderful friends, family, and the medical community who supported me along the way. This is my way of giving back to the community, to all who've been supportive to me, and to further the education of others. And this is the important line, to not be afraid to fight back when it comes to cancer. So I think that's very important.
Yes, and Suzanne is here in spirit. I'm pretending that she's sitting next to me right now. She seriously has been a tireless, tireless producer, and there are so many details, as you know, Sandy, mm-hmm. to putting on a play, and Dick, both of you.
Well, I'm curious, Catherine. You know, I never saw the original production. I was in Valdez.
You were in Valdez?
Yeah, right. But how do you put this together? So basically, you have a number of stories. Is it basically a series of monologues, or is it dramatized scenes?
Well, I don't know how Anne is going to direct this. Oh. It could be done in any number of ways. One thing I did add this time that I wish that I had thought of, if Lily were here, I think she would agree. I've added a Greek chorus element to it, and it'll be interesting to see. It's a surprise to me how Anne handles this. And so key lines in the play, as you have this five women and maybe six women and one man on stage, however Anne has it configured, will echo some of the lines together as a chorus.
Uh-huh. And I'm
anxious to see how that's going to happen. As you know, both of you, the Greek chorus is very effective theatrically.
And I think that's a fun part of being a playwright, to see different productions of your work and to see how it varies mm-hmm. with the same material. And I just wanted to add this last line that Suzanne wrote, because I think it's very important. The play does what? Play unites everyone who attends and gives you the strength to fight against this incredible disease. It teaches you what to expect, teaches you what to say if you know someone who has cancer. It teaches you to laugh. It teaches you it's okay to cry. I love the play, and I am so grateful that I get to be a part of sharing again with others.
Well, it's a tribute to Suzanne and to you and to all the women that have undergone this.
Well, it's so sad about the women who have passed, but there are many, many, many breast cancer survivors out there.
Oh, there are.
And that is very hopeful and exciting. So I do remember Louise's husband, he's a psychologist or psychiatrist.
Psychologist.
And he gave a workshop at Providence at the time I was diagnosed.
Richard
Lasseur. Yeah. And he did some kind of research, and what he discovered was there are three responses to this illness. One is denial. One is you're feisty and you're going to fight it. And the other is, well, you just accept it. I was in the denial category.
Oh, were you?
I still am.
I didn't know that.
Oh, definitely. I think that helped me, but other women make their own choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that comes out, Dick, that is revealed in the personalities that emerged, these five women that emerged as I put it together. I don't know if I was expert at making these composite characters, but my ear, my playwright's ear, heard tones I think tone more than anything else in different personalities, and that was the driving force between making the composite characters. And Sandy will remember that those five characters were very real.
Oh,
I
yes.
thought.
Oh, yes.
Abby, Betty, Carol, Dee, and Ellen. Very real, very different backgrounds.
So they're not literally the people, individuals you interviewed. They're composite
creations
leaning on those interviews.
Right.
Although I remember telling Kathy that one line or something.
Right. And Suzanne, actually, one of her lines is one of the strong lines. There are strong lines throughout. What I discovered in doing this is that the introspection that being diagnosed with a serious disease causes the delving into one's soul almost to come up to understand and to be enlightened almost to learn about oneself, one's strength.
You are dealing with mortality.
Mm-hmm. And this would go not just for breast cancer, but for any serious illness.
Well, I think it's interesting. Catherine Statham is our guest. We're talking about The Cost of Living, the revival of her play, which played at Cyrano's here in Anchorage in 1992 and is going to be playing in Wasilla again. Catherine, of course, you are a theater critic, and your play is interesting to me in that it deals with a social issue. Usually if we had a population of people suffering from this disease, we would have some kind of a workshop, some sort of a self-help or get-together. You've transformed that process into a work of art, and I think that's very interesting and very unusual. I can't think of too many plays that deal with an issue like this from an artistic point of view. So in a sense, it's a form of theater that is not well-known or not frequently done.
I do want to emphasize it's not dry or academic in any way. It is a theatrical experience.
And it's not about specific medicines, specific treatments, specific chemicals, or specific procedures. They're mentioned in passing, but it's really about just about people. And if we have time, I'd like to explain about how a woman, how a playwright's ear plays into all of this.
Well, please do. We have a few minutes left, and please do.
Well, when back to 1992, when Lillian Nielsen and I were sitting in Cyrano's Theater, waiting for a play to begin, or perhaps an intermission, I can't remember which, and talking about this, Lily pulled a letter from her purse from her sister, Evelyn, who lived outside, who was at that time battling breast cancer. And she said, I want to read something to you. And so I'd like to read just a little bit of that letter, which became the prologue to the play, and talk a little bit about the importance of language. The biggest relief of my life was getting that tube out of my nose and throat. There is nothing more disgusting than watching the contents of your stomach sucking back and forth in a bottle. other than having an evil-smelling stool all over the lab. I don't know if I'm the only one so stupid about my body. I seem to have this habit of letting everything go until disaster is set in. The morning of all this recent trouble, I went to the nursery and bought 2 flats of annuals and was in the front yard planting them. Actually, I would plant about 3 of them and then I'd have to sit down, wondering why I felt so weak. I finally had sense enough to call the cancer center. They know me well at this point. And they said to rush right down. I was bleeding internally all that time, and my blood pressure was just about as low as it could get. I was surprised when a couple of surgeons came in and started talking about blood transfusions, and did I really mean that I didn't want to be resuscitated as stated in my living will. We batted that around for a while I blithely said I didn't want to wander around after a stroke with my tongue hanging out and spittle running down my chin. They kept talking me into hanging in there. I didn't realize the situation was so grave. And I finally agreed that I wasn't really ready to check out. And that's just an excerpt from the prologue. And the language, the beauty of that language, is what struck me more than anything else. Do you feel it?
Yeah,
do you see the personality emerging
absolutely.
There? And that that character, Abby, was originally played here in town just beautifully by Bernie Blaine, a very familiar actor. She's been in your plays,
Dick. She's wonderful,
We all know her well.
Yeah, that puts it so vividly. And in fact, the play is dedicated to Evelyn, both editions.
Yes.
So I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, Kathy, and telling us about this cost of living revisited in Wasilla. And I do hope everybody goes and has the opportunity to see it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And next month, I hope you join us again when our guest will be Nancy Harbor, president of the Performing Arts Center, and she'll tell us more about the PAC's 25th anniversary celebration. Thanks again for joining us, and hope you tune in again next month.